Good morning. My name is Hector, and I will be your conference facilitator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Mandalay Resources Corporation's third quarter 2020 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A question and answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. This call contains forward-looking statements which reflect the current expectations or beliefs of the company based on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that may cause the actual results of the company to differ materially from those discussed in the forward-looking statements. Factors that could cause actual results or events to differ materially from the current expectations are disclosed under the heading Risk Factors and elsewhere in the company's annual information form dated March 30th, 2020, available on SEDAR and the company's website. Joining us on the call today is Dominic Duffy, President, Chief Executive Officer, and Director of Mandalay Resources. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Hector. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. With me on the call today is Nick Dwyer, Mandalay's Chief Financial Officer. Before getting into any financials, I'd just like to state that any dollar amounts, unless I otherwise state, are in US dollars. So Mandalay released its third quarter 2020 financial results at market close yesterday. You can find our consolidated financial statements and MD&A on the Mandalay Resources website, and also under our profile on SEDAR.com. Mandalay Resources had an outstanding third quarter in 2020. We leveraged another strong quarter of operational performance, a 16% year-over-year increase in realized gold prices, and good cost control to deliver one of our best quarters on record. Before we get into our operations, I just wanted to take a moment to speak about just how significant this quarter was for the company. Compared to the third quarter in 2019, our third quarter in 2020, we grew our quarterly revenue by 73% to $50 million. We more than quadrupled our quarterly adjusted EBITDA to $27 million. We grew our consolidated production by 54% and lowered our cash and all-in sustaining costs by 30% and 27% respectively. We generated an adjusted net income of $9.8 million or 11 cents per share, and we generated quarterly net cash flows and from operating activities of $29 million and $17 million in free cash flow. To put this quarter into perspective, our revenue was the highest it's been since the second quarter of 2016, which was when we had three producing mines, and our free cash flow for the quarter was approximately 15% of the market cap of the company as of this morning. Our adjusted quarterly EBITDA was the second highest in the company's history. We've been producing since the end of 2009. So for the Q3 2020 EBITDA to be the second highest out of plus 40 quarters, that is extremely impressive. While I'm pleased with Q3 results, what I find most significant is that we have carried out our turnaround plan for 2020 in the manner which we have been highlighting to our investors for quite a period of time. So, Mandalay has turned the corner. The company has now demonstrated four consecutive quarters of dramatic operational and financial improvement. This includes four straight quarters of consolidated saleable gold production improvements, and also three straight quarters where Mandalay has grown its revenue, EBITDA, and adjusted net income. This continued and sustained performance highlights not only the successful execution of our operational turnaround strategy at Costerfield, which was to reach, develop, and ramp up high-grade production at Youle, but also demonstrates our positive growth trajectory going forward. With three quarters completed, we are well positioned to meet our upwardly revised consolidated production guidance of 100 to 109 ounces of gold equivalent. So I'll turn to our operations now. On a consolidated basis, we produced 25,664 ounces of saleable gold equivalents, cash and all-in sustaining costs of $826 and $1,355 per ounce, respectively. The company's consolidated production was driven in large part by Costerfield, which continues to deliver high-quality, low-cost production from the Youle vein. In the third quarter of 2020, Costerfield produced 11,749 ounces of saleable gold and 991 tons of saleable antimony for 14,620 ounces of gold equivalent. This is a major improvement over the same period in 2019, where Costerfield produced 3,103 ounces of gold, 402 tons of antimony, and 4,747 ounces of gold equivalent. Costerfield's cash cost per ounce of gold equivalent production was $657, down 64% from the year-ago quarter, and all-in sustaining costs were $1,088, significantly lower than Q3 2019. This resulted in a record quarterly EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, for Costerfield of $18.8 million, which surpassed the previous record of $15.4 million set last quarter. The uplift in production and reduced costs were largely grade-driven, as our process grades average 11.5 grams per tonne and 4.1% antimony. We expect to see a similar production profile for Costerfield in the fourth quarter of 2020. And while we have yet to release our 2021 guidance, we expect to see Costerfield production increasing in 2021 as stoping is ramped up in the Youle vein. At Björkdal, we delivered another quarter of stable, profitable performance. The mine produced 11,044 ounces of gold in the third quarter of 2020, which was slightly lower than the 11,880 ounces produced in the third quarter of 2019. Cash and all-in sustaining costs were slightly higher at Björkdal as well, at $1,051 and $1,505 per ounce, respectively, versus $941 and $1,332 per ounce a year ago. This resulted in a quarterly revenue of $21.9 million and $9.6 million in adjusted EBITDA in the third quarter of 2020. As you know, we have shifted our operating strategy at Björkdal to focus on maximizing the delivery of higher margin ore feed to the mill. This means boosting the overall mix of high-grade underground ore and supplementing the mill capacity with low-cost, low-grade stockpile ore. This transition is still underway, though. We are working to ramp up production and haulage of underground ore with the goal of delivering at least 1 million tonnes of underground ore to the mill per annum. And we are developing further into the high-grade, low levels of the Aurora Zone. We expect Björkdal's performance, both operationally and financially, to improve as we execute this strategy. Overall, our operations are in a very strong position. I can say they're stable and growing. They are performing well and generating significant cash with additional upside to come. We look forward to delivering further information on our 2021 production outlook when we release the guidance in January. Also, subsequent to quarter end, we also had some exciting exploration success that I'd like to touch on. A few weeks ago, we announced some excellent results from our drilling at Costerfield at the high-grade Youle deposit, which will help to continue growing this deposit. We encountered significant high gold grades at depth, confirming our expectation that the deposit is growing at depth and adds more high-grade mine life to the Costerfield operation. Some of the grades we intercepted, approximately 100 metres below the current Youle mining operations, were extremely high. Some highlights include 99.8 grams per tonne of gold over a true width of 0.3 centimetres, 60.3 grams per tonne of gold over a true width of 24 centimetres, and 144 grams per tonne of gold over a true width of 57 centimetres. We are also continuing extension drilling to the north of Youle. Some of the intercept highlights are 84 grams per tonne of gold and 53% antimony over a true width of 44 centimetres, 186 grams per tonne of gold and 37% antimony over a true width of 27 centimetres, and 214 grams per tonne of gold over a true width of 18 centimetres, which is the deepest hole drilled down plunge on Youle to date, which shows the significant potential for depth extension within this Youle deposit. Our exploration program also indicated the potential for discovery of a mineable mineral in the Minerva Reef, which is within the same system as the Youle vein and in close proximity to the current operations there, around 50 metres above the current infrastructure. And this area has already been dewatered. Adding in separate mining area close to Youle is especially interesting, as it not only adds to Costerfield's mine life, but it also would be very low capital for us to bring it into production. Before we turn it over for questions, I'd like to lay out the company's priorities over the next 12 months. We currently have four main areas that we're going to focus on. Firstly, we want to maximise our cash flow from our operations. We definitely want to take full advantage of this record high gold price environment. This means continuing to grow our production at both Costerfield and Björkdal. We've seen a significant lift in year-over-year production versus 2019, and we expect a production uplift to continue in 2021. Next, we want to unlock further value and extend mine life through exploration. At Costerfield, this is extending the mine life of the high-grade Youle deposit and unlocking other value through new discoveries, whether that be Minerva, Browns, or other targets planned to be drilled over the coming year. At Björkdal, our objective is to continue to delineate and grow Aurora and other high-grade ore sources, focusing on depth extensions to the north of Aurora. Depth extensions and to the north of Aurora. Our third priority is de-risking our balance sheet. We plan to significantly strengthen our balance sheet in the coming quarters. As of quarter end, our debt position was $62 million. Improved operations and cash generation allowed us to grow our cash position from $21 million to $33 million quarter over quarter. We expect this trend to continue, and we are very well positioned to be net debt free during 2021. Lastly, our balance sheet has been de-risking. We will turn our attention to reinvesting cash in growth opportunities that will continue to strengthen the business and surface value for our shareholders as we go forward. Thank you, everyone. This concludes my presentation. We can now turn it over back to Hector for any questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Your first question comes from the line of Robert Plump with Private Investor. Please proceed with your question.
Hey guys, congratulations on the good quarter, the production numbers, and the cash flow. It's a tremendous quarter and a testament to all your guys' hard work in these difficult times. My first question is about taxes. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? What do you does the company have a tax loss carry forward from all the prior years' losses? Can you just give me a little bit more color about that, please?
Yeah, I might hand that question over to our CFO, there, Robert. Nick, if you want to jump in.
Yep, thanks for that. So obviously the two mines, I'll start with Costerfield in Australia first. The mine there, we obviously had not the best 2019, so there were accumulated losses that we were running up over that period. However, due to the stellar 2020 that we've seen from Costerfield, we do expect to be in a tax payable position in 2020. However, we are intending on having we also have the hedges as well, which they'll be in the in Costerfield at that time. So there is a potential to offset some of the hedging payments that we've made throughout the period to offset that. So it is a bit of an unknown at this stage, but for 2020, I think won't be paying tax, but it'll be going into next year that we have the potential to. A similar position for Björkdal in Sweden. It's a slightly different tax system where you can defer profits, but we don't expect any profits in Björkdal or any taxable profits in Björkdal to be material over the next few years.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Also, can you speak as to the remaining lives of the mines, particularly with Costerfield? When you guys purchased it, I think it had a life of just a couple years, and specifically, has Costerfield ever had more than 3 years worth of reserves?
Yeah, Robert, pretty much 3 years is a limit that we've always hit up against with our reserves. When Mandalay purchased it in 2009, it had zero reserves. So they have gradually been growing. So I think you'd find with the success of the most recent drilling in I'd be confident in saying we've pretty much got 4 years of life confirmed in front of us. I do hope that we'll get further depth extensions from Yule. However, we have been drilling Browns. That definitely has potential to turn into a next deposit. Minerva up above Yule could get us another year or two. But I definitely am confident of being able to add life through new discoveries and possibly some more in Yule as well. We have slowed down our drilling at Browns as of late because of the success of the drilling down deeper into Yule, growing that. We have moved most of our rigs back there, so I was hoping to have more information soon on Browns, but that's been pushed back as a result of the success on Yule.
Okay. Yeah, you guys have done a tremendous job. I think one of the problems that casual investors come across is they think that the mines do not have that much more life left to them, when in actuality they probably do. So, hopefully that'll be, people will realize, the actual true quality going forward. my next question is, I know it's pretty hard to quantify, but your levels of capital expenditures here for the past couple quarters, are those what you would consider normalized, or are they a little bit larger than usual? What can we kind of expect going forward?
They're definitely inflated at the moment, and will be next year as well. So the big capital cost we have over the 2020 and 2021 is a significant tailings dam lift at Björkdal. So that's costing us approximately $20 million, so a little under 10 this year and probably slightly over 10 next year. That lift gets us 10 years life at Björkdal TSF. So following on from that, you can pretty much eliminate that $10 million spend at Björkdal per annum over these 2 years, and you'll see a reduction in our capital from 2022 going forward. So that's why I do say they are inflated. At Costerfield, it is pretty stable capital at the moment, although we are doing capital development. So because we don't have our own capital development jumbo rig on site, when we bring in contractors, do all the capital development, then that contract finishes and we'll probably have a year without capital development occurring. And that costs us around about $9 million per annum. We'd expect our current program of capital development to finish in the first quarter of next year. And then that gives us a year period with no capital development and $9 million less before you'd look at bringing another contractor in for capital development.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And last question here. In 2021, you guys anticipate becoming net debt neutral or having an actual cash position. After your cash exceeds your debt, do you have any plans for reinitiating a dividend, or can you speak to that at all, please?
Obviously we are restrained at the moment with the debt. In the covenants, we are unable to pay dividends. That is definitely something we'd look at once we are net debt-free again. Obviously, it's a trade-off through trying to grow the company through other means, possible acquisitions or the likes, or even investing further in exploration. But it's definitely a discussion that's will be ongoing at board level, and it is possible that we would implement a dividend going forward.
Okay, very good. Thank you, gentlemen, and congratulations on the excellent quarter. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Robert. Thanks, Robert.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Your next question comes from the line of Peter Fraser with West Face Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Good morning, Dominic. And just like Robert, I'll congratulate you on a great quarter. I think what was even more impressive in the quarter is you had described to us over a year ago where we would get to by Q3 and of 2020, and I think you've exceeded that. So congratulations to the entire team at Mandalay. What I'm also excited about is you were saying you anticipate further improvement in the fourth quarter in Costerfield. And maybe you could just sort of describe, just add a little more color to that statement there.
Yeah, so you'll see there be a larger increase in 2021. But, yeah, we do still anticipate some further growth in the fourth quarter because little by little, yule is becoming even more predominant of the feed source. So probably in the third quarter, approximately 80% of the material was coming from yule. That'll be getting up to the mid-80s in Q4. And also we are slowly increasing our stoping. So the stopes, because they're narrower than the actual development drives, because these are all very narrow veins, The grades of our stopes are higher grade than the grades of our development drives. So it's just a transition of from development to production. That's where we get our further grade lift. So that's it. I wouldn't expect it to be very significant in quarter four, but we do anticipate, yes, a slight increase as well.
Okay. And could you just describe a little bit more about Minerva, what your plan is to figure out whether that's worth going after hard? And, you know, it's very exciting to see that the drilling results at depth, but I'm just sort of I'd just like a little more of your description of what how you will go after Minerva.
Yeah, definitely. So our focus at the moment is deeper drilling at Yule, because we focus firstly on the shorter term material, so that material would be mining before Minerva. But we do have one machine slowly drilling into Minerva. It's an unknown at the moment because there's not enough holes into it, but what we do have does show that there is quite a bit of continuity. And this is, I say it's the same system as Yule, because it's actually fed from, there's a main fault that is part of the mineralization. And so this Yule is below this fault and Minerva, and then this fault becomes mineralized as you continue to go up, and then the mineralization becomes more vertical as it passes into this Minerva vein. So it's only approximately 50 meters away from Yule. The reason we hadn't really seen it earlier is because it's in the footwall of what we've been drilling historically. So we've been drilling from the wrong angle that we never passed through it. So it's extremely exciting because of its proximity, and it's a lateral continuation of the old Costerfield mine and what they used to mine there, and it's a vertical continuation of Yule. So we have confidence that, we should be able to find mineable reserve within this Minerva. But you won't be getting the results very quickly because our focus is, again, on adding this to this area down deep to the north and south of Yule that we have drilled. But I don't think we'll be having enough information on it this year to put out another release, but I would expect early in the new year.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much.
No, thank you, Peter.
Your next question comes from line of Ernie Malesh with Private Investor. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. Congrats on a great quarter. I was a little bit surprised by the amount of tax that you guys had to pay. Is the tax rate in Australia 39%? Because that's what it works out to as a percentage of your income.
Yeah, I'll hand that one over to Nick or Sarani.
No, it's actually it's 30%, Ernie. What I think what you're seeing there is the prior period true up from last year. So when we lodge last year's return, there's always a sort of true up with the way it works. So I think that's the effective interest rate, but the actual interest rate that we're paying on our taxes is 30%. And I did fail to mention earlier, it's around 22% for Sweden, just out of interest. But the main reason it is slightly higher this period was because of the prior period true up from 2019.
Thank you. And the second question I have is, are you still planning to put in an ore sorter in Sweden to increase the effective ore grades there?
Dom, you might be on mute if you're...
Sorry about that. In 2021, we're not currently contemplating that because our focus for capital expenditure will be on mainly exploration at both of our sites. I do anticipate we'll see a significant ramp-up in our exploration at Costerfield and also increases at Björkdal. We just feel at the current time, with the capital we have available, we can add more value to the company than putting in optical ore sorting. Because you're looking at the margins of ore sorting, it is profitable for us by doing it. It has a payback period of a couple of years. But we still do want to add more life at Costerfield, and that'll be our capital priority for next year.
Okay, so there's more of a bang for the buck going after the higher grade ore, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's more value for the company in growing the Costerfield mine life and finding higher grade mineralization at Björkdal.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yep. No, thanks, Ernie.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of the question and answer session, and I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Dominic Duffy for closing remarks.
Thanks, Hector. Before we disconnect, I'd like to just give a special thanks to, and thank you to the Mandalay team for their contributions to delivering such a strong result and ensuring that the company could be placed in such a strong position. And I look forward to updating the market on future progress and hope everybody has a great day. Thanks, Hector.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.